Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Game, we talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life. Anything's possible.
Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang!
Curry for three.
Wow! Unbelievable. Making it rain in New York.
We the North are now we the champions.
Not the destination, it's the journey. Mamba out.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys NBA podcast. My name is Mitch Casey. You can find us on Twitter at BallBoysNBA. And as always, I am joined by my good mate, Callum McMullen. How are you doing, man?
Doing pretty well, Mitchie. We got some draft to talk about, so it's an exciting time.
Yes, we've got some draft to talk about. NBA finals are going on. I'm not going to spoil anything for you because I know you haven't watched the game yet. But
Don't tell me anything.
lots of stuff going on, but we're going to focus on draft and we're going to really ramp up the draft sort of chatter over the next few weeks because we've only got, I think there's only like 2 or 3 weeks left until the draft. So it's fast approaching. It's a big time in the NBA. It's a big, big thing on the calendar. And today we're coming at you with a mock draft. So we've done our big board. Now we've got some teams finally to put to the towards these players. Before we get into it, Cal, we haven't actually spoken about the order on the podcast or anything like that. Any thoughts about how it all shook out?
The order itself, it was pretty interesting. I'm kind of okay with how it all left. Hopefully we can bring back Detroit basketball if they have a number one pick. Yeah. I believe the last pick they had in the top three was back in the LeBron James.
Yeah, the, had, what's his name? Darko
Milicic.
Well, so. Hopefully they can do better than that. I think it's a bit of an easy decision this time around. I think they did all right last year. They obviously had a few draft picks. They had Sadiq Bey and Isaiah Stewart. Killian Hayes was obviously had a bit of a down year compared to what we expected. But I think they had a solid draft last year. And obviously adding number one pick to that bunch is a really good start to a rebuild. So that's good for the Pistons. I think in my personal opinion, I think that obviously the Raptors was I think they were the biggest winner of the night because I think you know, as we'll discuss soon, I think there's a bit of a four-player top-heavy draft, and then it sort of drops off from there. And I think the player that they're going to get more than likely at this spot is going to be a perfect player that's going to be able to slot in. And I think they're going to have a quick little rebuild and might be back into contention for the playoffs next year. So I think moving up in the order there was huge for them. So you've got to be pretty happy if you're a Raptors fan.
Yeah, I totally agree. I said last time on the big board, I thought it was more of a five-player draft, but I have eased off. I think it is a four-person draft. Now I've looked into it in more depth. So just to get in that top four slot is a huge win for Toronto.
Yep. I definitely agree. I'll be interested to see who is that number four for you as we go through our mock. So we're going to get stuck into it. This is a mock draft now. I know some mock drafts do these things a little bit differently. We are selecting if we were the person who was making the decision on draft night, not what we are predicting the team is going to do. I just think this is a bit more fun. We had to put in our insight on what we think of the prospects as well. So we're not making predictions. We are doing what we would do on draft night.
We're essentially a general manager for tonight.
Yep. We're general manager for seven different teams each. I think I gave you the number one selection on the big board. So this time I'm going to be taking the number one pick. I've just assigned myself number one pick. Give myself a nice, easy layup. So, all right, here we go. With the number one overall pick, the Detroit Pistons select Cade Cunningham. Big shock.
Wow.
Shock in the world. I think this one it's signed and just delivered. It's an easy pick. I think he is the clear standout best prospect in the draft. I've heard a little bit of chatter about some players like Jalen Green and Evan Mobley stepping up there. I'm not even entertaining that if I'm Detroit. I think he fits alongside Killian Hayes. I think they've got two bigger guards that can play together. Probably pushes Killian Hayes off the ball a bit more, which I think he can do. Gives him a bit more room and less responsibility, which I think will allow him to come along at his own pace instead of having as more expectations on him. You've got, you know, good size, good defensive switchability with a lot of your players all being sort of 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", with Jeremy Grant and Sadiq Bey there. And then you've got Isaiah Stewart, who's a good defensive center. So I just think that this is an easy pick. I think this Cade Cunningham is going to be a multi-time All-Star, potentially even an MVP candidate at his ceiling. And I'm just, yeah, I think that this is a slam dunk. Do you have anything else to add to Cade, or would you have gone somewhere different here, Cal?
Look, I consider a couple other players, but I think it's an easy pick. As you said, it's a layup. You have to go with him. His ceiling, I feel like he's probably got the highest floor in the draft. Yes, he's going to be a contributor. He's 6'8". He looks like he can defend. His three-point shooting, he actually shot 40% from the field in college, and that was when all the defenses was homing in. So he pretty much ticks every box. He can pass. I wouldn't really call him a pure point guard, which is why I think he can fit with Killian Hayes. And as you touched on, this will take some of the ball out of his hand, but I think they can run the floor together. In this day's NBA, you want more guys who can handle the ball. Yeah. And with those two, some people are saying that Killian Hayes, it's not a good fit. They've already got a point guard. I don't see it being an issue at all. No. You need guys that can handle the ball. So I think it's a huge win for Detroit. Detroit Pistons have a lot of young assets now.
They're looking good. I like their future. I think they've got a good young core assembled. And I think, just adding this talent to the team and roster, I think they're going to be a lot better this year just from this addition alone, personally. I think that one is probably one of the more boring picks of the draft. I haven't seen too many people or too many mock drafts out there go somewhere else. I think we'll move on pretty quickly. Let's throw it over to you for the second pick in the draft, the Houston Rockets. Before I get you to do your pick, just a bit of background on the Rockets. I've got a couple of team needs here for them. I think they're in the very early stages of a rebuild. So basically they need just overall talent. They need a franchise player at this point. They don't really have someone who's their cornerstone piece yet. Although a couple of notable pieces that they've got here, I would say that Christian Wood and Kevin Porter Jr. are probably their main notable pieces. You could also throw in there KJ Martin Jr. or Jay Sean Tate and other players like that. But, you know, if they are a contending team in the end of the day, I don't know if they're, you know, starting level sort of talents, maybe. But I don't think that those kind of players should necessarily prevent you from drafting someone in that position. But I'll throw it over to you. Who are the Houston Rockets drafting at the second pick?
So the Houston Rockets with the second pick in the draft are going to take Jalen Green. I think it's a good fit for them. I would honestly even say like Detroit should consider him, but you have to go with Cade. But I think he's a good spot there. This guy, I think, can put up 25 points in this league. He will be a scorer. He is athletic as hell, 6'6", just like the GOAT himself. He'll fit in with the rest they have now. Obviously, I think John Wall, he's probably going to be shipped out if someone will take his contract on. The only long-term pieces, as you touched on, really, are kind of Christian Wood and then, I guess, Kevin Porter Jr. and then some of those other younger assets. So they have to swing for the fences here. Yep. And I think that person is Jalen Green. This guy will be an offensive talent. He still has some areas to improve. Couldn't improve in his playmaking, but I am pretty excited with him, and I think he is a stud.
I like the pick. I think it's definitely something. I think the draft starts here. Personally, if I were the Rockets, I would be considering Evan Mobley as well. I think it's between those two players. I know we did our big board show. I had Evan Mobley ahead of Jalen Green. And I think I had Suggs ahead of Green as well. I think I probably flipped those two back again. So I probably have Green third on my big board and Evan Mobley still ahead. But I don't think the gap's big enough to justify taking Mobley when you've got someone like Christian Wood there. So I probably do agree with you that he is the sensible pick here, because I think he fits the team better. And the talent disparity, in my opinion, is not wide enough to go against that fit. But I am interested. I could see, if I'm predicting, I could actually see them going Mobley. And I think a lot of other mock drafts have Mobley going at this position. But I do also see a lot of other mock drafts out there that do take Green. So, yeah, it'll be very interesting to see what actually does happen on on draft night. Did you ever consider another player here, or were you always pretty? Because I know you were a bit higher on Green initially in our big board when we recorded last.
I'm pretty high on Green. I've kind of considered Cade as a 1A and Green as a 1B.
Yeah,
And then I see a little bit of a drop off. I think Mobley does look like kind of like your Chris Bosh kind of type, like defensive big man that can play a bit of perimeter defense. But he was only a third offensive kind of option on a championship team. I think this guy could be a number one option, could be a Donovan Mitchell type kind of leader team to the number one seed as like kind of a ceiling. So maybe even better than that. Like he's taller than Donovan.
He's got the physical tools, 6'6". Yeah.
Exactly. So
I remember you made a lofty comparison between him and Michael Jordan in our last podcast.
I snuck it in then as well. Didn't you hear me? He's 6'6", just like the GOAT. Just like the GOAT. So that's a sign.
I didn't want to mention it, but I guess I'm forced to. But lofty expectations for the young man. But
his fader is unguardable, just like Michael's. So if he can hit it with some consistency, then he's definitely shooting for the stars.
I think his swing factors will be like his playmaking, like you said, and sort of passing abilities, but also his defense. And in saying that, he has the tools. Like he's got that wingspan, he's got the long arms, the frame to be a good defender. I don't necessarily think he's shown that he's a bad defender, but he hasn't yet shown those defensive instincts that you've seen from someone like a Cade Cunningham already. But on the offensive side of the floor, like he is a bucket. And I think he probably has the highest ceiling out of anyone in this draft in terms of a pure scorer who can go get you. Like if of all this draft classes, he had the highest career points per game average out of everyone in this draft class, I would not be surprised. And so if that's what you're looking for, and I think that is a good thing to look for, obviously, you'd be.
And I think that's what Houston are after. Like Mobley, yes, can be like a very good foundational piece, but I don't think he's that number one guy. And this, when you have no real young assets, like well, I guess they have some young assets, but they don't have any real, you know, core pieces that for a championship and not, like a number one piece like Jalen Green could be. So I think you have to take him.
I do think it's probably easier to build around a Jalen Green than a Mobley. I do think if you had a Mobley, you'd need another centerpiece offensive weapon next to him to make that team a legit contending team. So I do like the pick. Let's move on to the next pick, pick three of the draft. And we've got the Cleveland Cavaliers on the clock. For my team needs here, I've got, again, they probably still need a franchise player. They've got a bit more talent than the first two teams with the Sexland backcourt. But I don't know. I don't see either of them as like that franchise number one player just yet. They need some front court help and they obviously need a bit of defense with a backcourt like that. You know, there's not a lot of defense in that backcourt. So defense is a big key thing for them. I think if this happens on draft night, Cleveland is wrapped. I think that they're going to get the perfect player for them fall to them. And I think that if this happens, they're going to take this player. If, for example, it doesn't work out like this, I could see Cleveland making a trade and trading down with this pick. But again, if it goes the way that we've predicted it, I think they'd be very happy to take Evan Mobley with the third pick. I know they have Jarrett Allen there, but I just think that you're taking the best player available. I think with the lack of defense that they have in the backcourt, having a rim protector and someone who can take up and wash away some of those mistakes like a Mobley would just be awesome for them. If someone like a Sexton or a Garland can really, you know, they're high points per game scorers, they can handle that side of the ball. So I think a fit like this is a match made in heaven. So I think this is an ideal scenario for Cleveland personally. I think if it goes this way, what are your thoughts on Evan Mobley to the Cavs?
I think it's a good fit. I'm not too sure if I think he is versatile enough to play with, I guess, their cornerstone center and Jarrett Allen. So I'm not too sure. Maybe he's going to have to start to get some kind of mid-range and outside shot, or Jarrett Allen will, but I'm not too sure how the minutes would work between those two. But Evan Mobley is actually pretty good in the perimeter. He's got a bit of a handle. He kind of reminds me a bit of, even I did the Chris Bosh comparison. He actually even reminds me a little bit of Jonathan Isaac as well, just because he's long and can actually, he's such a big dude, but can also dribble and take it to the rim. So
like an even bigger Jonathan Isaac. Yeah, I can see that kind of comparison. Yep. because he's got that sort of like couple dribble drive, like face up kind of game. Probably doesn't have the 3-point range just yet, but you could definitely see it coming. Like the form is fine. So I do see that is like there's definitely a lot of upside there in terms of future projection for Mobley. So
yeah, definitely. And they need someone who can assist their defense at one of the worst defenses in the league.
Oh, horrible.
And I guess they do have more of a need for the power forward slot. And if he can slot into there, then sure. Oh, and he can be a small ball center as well. So
yeah, I see him as a center long-term personally. I think going back to our big board video, I did compare him to the upside of an Anthony Davis. And I do still see that as sort of his ceiling. It's a fairly big ceiling to live up to, but he's got that defensive. He's the most impactful defender in this entire draft, I believe. And you can definitely see the tools there on the offensive side of the ball. But even in saying that, someone like Anthony Davis couldn't get it done on his own. You know, he needed that second guy, that sort of the lead offensive player, sort of get him over the hump, which was LeBron James. But I think that still probably would be the case with someone like a Mobley, whether that's Garland or Sexton. I mean, we'll see, but I think it's a good start and it's the best thing you could do here for the Cavs. Let's, anything else you want to say there, or should we move on to the next pick?
Let's move on. Let's go to the, I think it's going to be the hardest pick in the draft, this fourth pick.
Toronto Raptors. Oh, well, I don't know. I think you might be being a bit facetious there, but I think if I just go through their team needs here, they probably need some rim protection and rebounding, but also a bit of defense and guard depth, depending on what's happening with Kyle Lowry and his free agency. Current pieces, I think they've got a good sort of core to start off with Fred VanVleet, who recently re-signed, OG Anunoby and Pascal Siakam being their main pieces. Again, there's a question mark with what's going with Kyle Lowry in free agency, but I'll throw it over to you. Who are the Toronto Raptors selecting at pick 4?
So at 4, it's a no-brainer. As we said, it's a 4-man draft. Left in our draft, they're going to have to take Jalen Suggs, which I think is a great pick for them. Whether, you know, Mobley is there, you take him, or if Jalen Green is there, I think Toronto would take him as well. So it'd be one of those three players, essentially. But Jalen Suggs is a good pick for them. I think if Kyle Lowry goes out, then he can just slot straight into the starting position. Otherwise, he could just do a bit of it might be, say, half a season. I wouldn't be surprised if Kyle Lowry does do some kind of sign and trade. Maybe get some time under his belt and a bit of mentorship. Who really knows? But I still think it's a great fit. He fit next to Fred VanVleet really nicely. One name you didn't mention was Gary Trent Jr. is probably in their long-term plans as well. He's quite good. So they got some young guys there, and I think he does slot in really well. I think he is a future all-star. Personally, he's kind of got all the tricks in that he needs in his bag to be a really productive kind of scorer, facilitator for a really good NBA team.
I think all four of these guys at the top of this draft are potential all-stars. I do think that a lot of them have high floors and high ceilings. So that's why I say that it's a four-person draft at the top of the high-end talent. So I think that, Jalen Suggs, like, and for the Raptors here, they're in a perfect position because they can draft any one of those three players, or any one of those four players, I should say. Heaven, you know, if I'd be very surprised if Cade Cunningham fell this far, but any one of those four players would fit perfectly on this team. You know, you have someone like a Fred VanVleet, which makes things so flexible. He can either play off the ball or he can be the primary ball handler. So if you get a Jalen Green, you just move Fred VanVleet to the point guard. If you get a Mobley there, well then that fixes his center woes, which was one of the big issues for the Raptors that they had last season. So with them not liking to play Boucher in that position. So I think that they are very, very happy with whoever falls to them. And with Suggs there, you get a good defender. You get someone who's extremely professional, extremely aggressive when it comes to attacking the rim, which would fit in very well with all these guys and does have the ability to shoot a little bit, space the floor a little bit to help those wings sort of slash and get in there. So I think the Raptors are in a great position. And from here, I think this is where the draft really gets interesting because depending on the order and maybe if there's a trade or something like that, those are the first four names off the board. I'm glad to hear that you haven't gone Kuminga over Suggs there. thrown back to the big board.
Not a chance. Suggs definitely is upside so much higher. 50% field goal. He put up a pretty nice kind of 14-5-5 with like 1.9 steals. So some good stats there in his college debut.
Yeah. I really like Suggs. I think he's gonna have a long and prosperous NBA career. Let's move on to this is the interesting part of the draft here, because I'm probably going to surprise a few people with my pick here.
Do it. Yeah, I think it's a tough pick. Honestly, number five could go many ways.
I have debated between the consensus pick here and then the pick that I'm going to end up going with. Because the pick that let me read through the Orlando's needs first. First of all, they're starting their rebuild. They obviously traded away the house last season. So they need overall talent. They need that franchise player. They also need a lot of shooting because they're backcourt in Cole Anthony and Markel Fultz. You throw in Wendell Carter Jr. there, Jonathan Isaac. None of them are really great shooters. So shooting and floor spacing is definitely going to be needed. They have two picks, pick five and pick eight. So they've got two opportunities to do that. Now, I debated selecting Jonathan Kuminga here because he seems to be the guy that everyone wants to pick. He seems to be the next highest upside guy. But I'm not. The more and more I look into this draft, the less I am confident about Kuminga, and further down he slides on my big board. If I was the Magic, I'm considering it only because I have a second pick and I have another pick that I can take someone who's a bit safer, who I'm a bit more sure on. And maybe this guy that I'm about to pick will be there, but I'm a big believer. And I think that this guy, Moses Moody, is going to be the player that I select at pick number five. I think he fills the need. He's the quintessential 3-and-D player that the NBA loves at the moment. It is you're looking at teams like Phoenix and Milwaukee. They're filled with those kind of players who are in the finals right now. So, but I think he's got his biggest knock is low ceiling, which I don't know. I don't see it. I see a ceiling of a player like Chris Middleton with Moses Moody, a player who can score, who can shoot. He gets to the free throw line a bunch, so he's aggressive. And just someone who fits right into this team and fits a lot of a need, and as well as I think he's a really good player. So what are your thoughts on Moses Moody going to the Orlando Magic?
Look, I think you could have gotten him a bit later. You might have, in the Magic's point of view, you might have snuck him up at the eighth pick.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a reach. I think you probably could have gone someone else. I'll be honest. I'm a little bit surprised.
The problem is I've got the seventh pick and I know I would have taken him there as the Golden State Warriors. So maybe they can, if I was them and I thought, and there's all this talk that Moses Moody's gone a bit later, you could probably get him with the eighth pick, but I don't know. I'm just not as sold on Kuminga. The other player that I considered here was Scotty Barnes. I think I've got like those three players in the next tier. But I think Scotty Barnes' fit on this team is just not, it doesn't really make sense next to Jonathan Isaac and Wendell Carter and that sort of thing. I don't really want to clutter that front court with no shooting. So I just think he's the best fit of those three players that I've got in the next tier before the rest of the draft. So
it's interesting. I'm looking at his stats. He didn't really shoot the ball lights out. His field goals, it's only 42.7%. 3-point field goal is about 36% from the field. He was pretty good at free throws. He pretty much made six a game, which is pretty crazy. Yes. So he aggressive.
Shot a lot of free throws. Yeah.
It's part of his play style. Put up about 17 points. And then with your one block, 1 steal and 0.7 blocks. Doesn't really get any assists. That's not what he's there for. He's really an aggressive shooting guard who get to the rim, or he can shoot the three as well. He's a reasonable
He's a good shooter. His shot mechanics look so smooth. I love his mechanics. They look effortless, something that could easily translate. And just like that free throw rate to me is a big thing, because I think that's easily translatable to the NBA. It's something that is an underrated and very valuable skill for someone to have as a guard. And if you look at his measurables on the draft combine, he's got a 7-foot-plus wingspan, huge hands, someone who, just from a physical point of view, is extremely versatile. And I just think that if you're starting your rebuild, no matter who, because I don't think you're getting a franchise player at this pick. I don't see a franchise level talent here. So if I'm Orlando, I'm planning for next year's draft and the years to come after that. that maybe I can get my franchise guy in next year's draft, or I can trade for him or something like that. And then Moody's going to be one of those complementary pieces along with someone like Jonathan Isaac. And that's a really good core to me there. But I understand that it might not be for everyone. I think that he's usually a little bit later in the draft, but I'm a big Moses Moody fan.
Yeah, I will guarantee that the Magic will have a high draft pick next draft. Yes, so it's fair enough. They don't have to hit for the fences this time around. They've got that five and they've got the eighth to try and get some good young assets and really kind of just make that talent, maximize it. So I don't hate it. I probably wouldn't have gone with this with that pick personally, but sure. Yep.
I'm scrolling down. We're doing a draft thing right now, and on this big board, he's down at 17 on this ESPN big board ranking. So just scrolling down to pick him at pick five, bit interesting there.
So there was two settings. There was the ESPN, or there was the built-in simulating, and they actually have Moses Moody at 7 on this draft board. He's obviously got a bit of variety that some people like, and bit polarizing.
Yeah, very polarizing. Let's throw it over to you. I'll just run through quickly. We've got our OKC Thunder on the board now. Again, another team that is starting their rebuild. They're going heavy. I think this is the new process. Like, this is trust the process kind of territory. The only real current piece that they have on their roster that I would say is someone you wouldn't draft over is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Yes, they've got other players like Dort and Pokuševski and Isaiah Roby, but I don't know. If there's a player in their position that you like their talent, I don't think you stop yourself drafting them because of those players. But they're just looking for overall talent at this point. So I'll throw it over to you. Who are the OKC Thunder taking at pick 6?
So, look, I'm a bit taken aback. Moses Moody is off the board. So I can no longer consider him. But that's okay. For this pick, it was pretty much between two players for me.
Yep.
In Kuminga and Scotty Barnes. So those are the two guys I was like, you know what? They've got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's definitely a young stud. He's got a bright future. They've kind of cleared the deck with their centers. So maybe, look, you could get a center. They traded that prospect to the Celtics in the Kemba Walker trade. Al Horford, I don't know what's going on there. Did he get traded?
Yeah. He's been traded to the Celtics.
Oh, it was in that trade as well. Okay,
fair enough. They currently have Kemba Walker on their team, but I can guarantee you that won't be there at the start of this season.
Yeah, the only long-term pieces is really Shai, SGA, and Dort. I guess you could say Poku.
Yeah.
And then probably Lou Dort as well, because Lou Dort does look like a legit stopper. So they definitely have a lot of places to go. They could go big, and they could go a wing as well. So I actually ended up mixing my board up a bit. And from the last big board. And I think Scotty Barnes is a better prospect than Kuminga.
Yes. I've
come around to him.
Yes.
And I think they should take Scotty Barnes with
Scotty
the number
Barnes.
Number six pick in the draft.
Sixth pick. I love it. He's my next player on my big board too. I've moved Kuminga down below him. So talk me through why. You don't have to sell me, but sell the audience. Sell the people listening on why you've gone Scotty Barnes over Kuminga.
I just love his game. I think defensively he will be good from the get-go. He's 6'9", he's long. He can play the small forward, the power forward, maybe even small center in the future if he puts some size on. He's a great passer as well. This is kind of like what sold me on him. He is a very good passer, great IQ. Yep.
He played point guard in college. Like, he literally played their point guard.
Exactly. And he put up some reasonable stats. Like, his scoring probably needs to come. He's not a scoring guy, but I think he's just a real great glue guy to any good team, and he will be elite. He's kind of like maybe a Ben Simmons light, not on, you know, just because he's big, tall.
On the defensive end of the floor, definitely. I can definitely see that comparison.
And the passing aspect as well. So I can see a bit of Big Ben in him, and you know, 1.5 steals a game, 0.5 blocks. He had put up 4 assists as well. What? So they're running it through him. I actually really quite like it, this man's ceiling.
One thing I love about him, just watching the film, is his motor and his energy levels. Like, he is someone that, you know, I say he'd play point guard. He also played point guard on the defensive end and guarded people like full court, like full pressure defense, like little quick guards. He was locking up players like Davion Mitchell and those sort of type players. So Very versatile on the defensive side, is as a player that you could say literally could guard 1 through 5. So, which is, I know that that term gets thrown around a lot, and we always say, oh yeah, you can guard 1 through 5, but I think he is a player that literally could do that. Jump shot, you know, it's questionable. It's something that's obviously one of his weaknesses, and probably going to be his, you know, what determines his ceiling. Other comparisons are players like a Draymond Green or someone, even I've seen Giannis comparisons. I kind of see it with Giannis a little bit, like in terms of without the offense, without that sort of, you know, he's a bit smaller, but someone who did test very well at the combine again. He had excellent sort of agility and shuttle run times up there with some of the best for everyone who tested. So he's definitely got the physical tools. So no, I love it. He was definitely the next guy on my big board. So I think it's a good pick.
Yeah, I can see some all defensive teams for him. And look, the facilitating, it does remind me a bit of Draymond Green. That is a good comparison.
Yeah.
But I think he can get some kind of mid-range, maybe hit like the corner three or something. But yeah, offensively, just the passing, I don't think he's a liability at all anyway. And the defensive upside is so big.
Yeah, 100%. I agree there. Let's move on to pick 7, where the Golden State Warriors have got their pick. Now we're not going to be projecting any trades here, but I think if the draft went this way for the Golden State Warriors, I actually think it's a nightmare kind of situation because two guys that I think that they were hoping were going to be there, in my opinion. I know I've seen a lot of Davion Mitchell. I'm not going to go there. Spoiler alert. You know, I think Scotty Barnes on this team would be really, really effective. I think Moses Moody on this team would be really, really a great fit. The next player on my big board is Jonathan Kuminga. But I think if you are Golden State Warriors, you're not looking for someone who's a project down the line. You want someone who's going to be contributing right away if you're keeping this pick. So whilst he might be the next player on my big board, I'm looking for a team, a player that, you know, I need some shooting and defense. Maybe I need a bit of depth at the wing positions. I might even be looking at some Wiseman insurance because I'm not 100% sold on him, depending on what I think. So who am I going to go here?
I'll just say, like, because you are the GM right now, if you do think that Kuminga is a much better asset right now than any other person on the board, surely you get him and then maybe try and trade him for an asset.
Well, I'd be trying to trade the pick. If I'm in the draft room, in the war room right now, I'm trying to trade the pick. I don't
want to. But it would be to a team that would want Kuminga. Someone that obviously will draft Kuminga. So you're essentially trading Kuminga on draft day.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just feel like you're stuck with him if no one bites. Do you know what I mean? Like
he would be a good defender.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm assuming that he's going to be on my team starting the regular season. So for that reason, I'm not going to go Kuminga. And I'm actually going to go with Keon Johnson at this point in the draft. I think. He's moved up my big boards. I think I was a bit lower when we went through our last podcast. But I had him
pretty high. I had him like number 7.
I moved him up. I think that, you know, in this team, you don't need someone who can create their own shot. You've got Steph, you've got Clay. Just another player that you can plug in. He's got a higher upside, so you're getting a good prospect for the future, but you're also getting someone who can impact the defensive side of the floor right now. And with the gravity that Clay and Steph bring to this team, I think Keon Johnson, just those cutting skills and that athleticism will be able to shine the most. And his biggest swing factor is shooting. So what better team to put him on than the team with the Splash Brothers? So they can definitely help his shooting. So I think if the draft goes this way, I think Keon Johnson is going to be my pick for the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, look, it's good. I love Keon. He is an athletic freak. You pretty much have him and Jalen Green are probably in a league of their own, but Keon Johnson athleticism, it's raw, but that man can jump. He'll definitely have some highlight reel kind of stuff that those Golden State Warriors will love to see. I can see some great passes, alley-oop plays between Steph Curry, Draymond to Keon Johnson.
It'd be great. I think they'd love him over there in San Francisco. Like the place
they would love him
with some of his plays. So I actually like the fit. I'm not sure if it'll actually go that way on draft day, but I don't mind it at all.
Right, look, interesting pick. I'm surprised you passed in Kuminga here, though. I think he still could fit that team, play some defense. He'd just come off the bench, be a role player.
I think if we're actually predicting what would happen, I would be very surprised if Kuminga is still on the board. But I guess this just shows I'm not a huge fan, and I think it's your pick now. We'll throw it over to you for the. We've already talked about the Orlando Magic's team needs and current pieces, so let's make the pick for the eighth pick in the draft.
Yeah, well, I think they're laughing right now. Obviously, I just refreshed everyone. They did end up taking Moses Moody, which was your pick. So yep. They got a shooter, and now they kind of get that versatile wing. They're going to take Kuminga. They can't pass up on the best asset. Their team is terrible. They need the best assets possible. He's the best on the board. Take him. I think they would be very happy that they got Kuminga at the eighth pick here. That's huge. I think that's a big win for them.
I think that this is like, look, if they walk away from the draft with these two players, I think that is a huge win for the Orlando Magic. And it might happen in reverse. They might go Kuminga first and then Moses Moody might be there at eight. And I think that a package of those two players is the ideal scenario for Orlando, really, because you're getting someone with high upside who you can take time with, but may, you know, a bit more bust potential. And then you're getting someone like Moses Moody, who's, you know, exactly what every team's looking for. I think it's, you know, what tell me your thoughts on Kuminga, because I've got a few things that I want to say, but I'll get your thoughts on him first, because I want to compare him to a few other players in recent times. But tell me, why do you like Kuminga? And also, why have you gone? Is it more the fact that you like Scotty Barnes more, that he's moved down your board? Or have you soured on Kuminga a little bit since our last pod?
I guess the comparison there is, I think that because Scotty Barnes actually is such, I think he actually is such a good passer with those four assists. I saw him running the court. I think that can be very useful. And I think his defensive upside is better than Kuminga's anyway. And when you look at Kuminga, who's like, when I feel like there's one every draft where it's like, oh, this guy he's the next Kawhi Leonard. He's got that potential. That is Kuminga this year. It's one of the most unlikely things that you get a Kawhi Leonard. So I think it is unlucky, but he's got the tools. I think he's got the tools to be a great, solid kind of role player. I don't even think he'd be the third option on a championship team, but he's a good glue guy. Maybe he could become that third option. And that's why I've kind of gone off him, because I think Scotty Barnes could be that third option for sure, just because of his facilitating. And if you get some kind of mid-range game with the defense he already has, I think he's just a no-brainer over the two at that position. But anyway, look, I think the Magic are very happy with Kuminga here. I like his – some comparisons I give him would be a bit of a Pascal Siakam and maybe even I lost it. I had someone else, but I think Pascal Siakam is
that's a good comp.
Comparison from long, can't really shoot, but he's got some tools. Because Siakam's still got a way to go as well.
Yeah.
OG Anunoby.
Yeah.
So Raptors, pretty much a Raptors.
I like it. The biggest thing on Kuminga and the thing we always seem to hear when you read any of the scouting reports or you watch the film, it's potential. It's you see the body, you see the athleticism. He hasn't put it together yet. You know, what did he shoot under 40% from the field? Terrible 3-point percentage.
38.7%.
Turnovers were high. Horrible decision maker. So he's raw. He's someone who was projected really well coming out of high school. Was one of the top prospects out of high school. Kind of didn't shine as well as someone like Jalen Green in the G League. So, and I feel like we get a player like this in every single draft. I've made a little bit of a list here in the past 10 years. The players that are this type of architect type, they're athletic. They've got a lot of potential if they put it all together. I'll run through a few names for you. I'll start with the success stories. Here are the success stories in the past 10 years. You've got Jalen Green. You've got Kawhi Leonard. You've got Zach LaVine, you've got Giannis, you've got Jimmy Butler, and you've got Paul George. Okay, so there's six players in the last 10 years.
Great players.
Guess how many of those players were selected in the top 10?
I know Kawhi and PG were around 13. I know Jimmy Butler was 30th. Jalen Green was. He was third pick, second or third pick?
Yep. He's the only one. I'll give you a spoiler. There was only one of those players selected inside the top 10, Jalen Green. I'm going to go through the players that are not success stories. Here we go. Obi Toppin. I know it's 1 year, but I'm already out on him. Josh Jackson, Dennis Smith Jr., Marquise Chris, Stanley Johnson, Andrew Wiggins, Aaron Gordon, Anthony Bennett, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, and Thomas Robinson. So there's 12 players there. Can you guess how many of those players were selected in the top 10?
All of them.
Every single one. Every single player from that list was selected in the top 10. I don't know what it is, but it seems like we overrate these athletic, like, potential guys in every draft. And the statistics are just against it. I feel like it's not something that we can sustainably project. And I don't know, maybe because they are drafted later in the draft, they've got a bit more of a chip on their shoulder. I don't know. Maybe there's something to that. But I don't like drafting players like that as high as pick number 5. So I think if you get him at pick 8 here, when he's, you know, selected at pick, you know, to go at pick 5, I think that's a better decision and a better outcome for you to get a player like Kuminga. But just my opinion, he could prove me wrong. He could be the next Paul George or Kawhi Leonard. I'm just not as sold on it. I need to see more.
It's a bit of an ambitious pick, isn't it? It's kind of like you swing for the fences, because the floor isn't like, it's more like the floor isn't a bust. The floor is a role player that can defend.
And the floor's a disappointment though for that kind of pick.
It is. But the ceiling, that's why you make the pick. You make the pick for him to become a Kawhi Leonard. And one name I think you left off your list, which was last year's big Kawhi Leonard, it's got to be Patrick Williams, right? Did you mention him?
Yes. No, I didn't mention him.
Yeah, Patrick Williams.
He is another one.
He was the Kawhi Leonard of last year. And I like his game. I think he's got some high potential.
He didn't fit in either list just yet. He was a bit early. You know, I put Obi Toppin in there because I'm not sold on him. But Patrick Williams could be a winner, but he could also be a loser. So I didn't want to lump him in either one. So I just found it hilarious that all those players in there were top 10, and then only one I could find in the top 10 that was an actual success or an all-star. So anyway, we've probably talked too much about Jonathan Kuminga. Let's move on to the next pick. Who is the Sacramento Kings. Okay, and that is me back up on the board. All right, so for the Sacramento Kings, you know, we've got a few things. They need some front court depth. They need defense. They need defense above all, because they, you know, I think they last in defense by a fair way. Their current pieces, De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Halliburton, are probably their main pieces. You do have Buddy Hield and Marvin Bagley, who I'm just not a fan of. They do have a bit of a free agency situation going on with Sean Holmes. I have a feeling that he might be leaving in free agency. So, you know, a center there might be the way to go. This is a tough one here. Keon Johnson was a player that I was hoping was going to fall to me at this point in the draft. But I'm going to take a swing here, and I'm going to go for upside, and I'm going to take Jalen Johnson for the Kings here. I think he is probably a good fit there. You can maybe move Bagley to the center if Rashawn Holmes goes, or you can just get rid of Bagley because I don't believe in him. And Jalen Johnson is one of those players who high upside, athletic, has a bit of playmaking potential in him potentially. He did shoot 40% from threes, but I think that was from very limited attempts. His jump shot looks really weird, so I'm not confident with that translating, but super athletic, has the defensive tools, has some playmaking tools, and then some offensive upside as well to sort of go there. So it's a bit of an upside pick at pick 9, but I think this is the time to sort of do it, and a good fit for the Sacramento Kings here.
I think it is a good fit. They need that kind of small forward, defensive kind of orientated guy. I like his game too. He's one of the few people that has over a steal and a block a game. So he actually has 1.2 steals and 1.2 blocks respectively. So I think that's great upside. The 3-point field goal, I think he just needs to work on his form and get this confidence. You look at his percentage, he actually shot 44%, which is funny, but he didn't attempt many. So it's unrealistic to think that he will do that. But his field goal is quite good anyway, 52% from the field at college. Yep. So as a freshman, I actually really like him as a prospect. I think he, with the 6'9 frame, I actually really do quite like his defensive potential. And I think he could be a good glue guy. And there's definitely some like upside there as well. So
I think at this point in the draft, like, this is where I've got my, I'm calling this now tier 4 with all the prospects here. And I've got about 10 to 12 different names in this tier. There's a big blanket over a bunch of players. So to me, it's a bit more about fit and what kind of player you're after. Are you after a potential guy? Are you after someone who's contributing right now? So there's a wide range of of options, I think, at this point in the draft. So even though he may not be the top of my board, I think he's the best fit of the guys left for this team. So here's a guy I'm picking here for the Sacramento Kings. Let's maybe move on to the next pick. What are we at now? The 10th pick in the draft. We're up to the New Orleans Pelicans. Now, their current pieces that they're building around: Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram. There's question marks about Lonzo Ball, so they might need some guard depth. They need a center because I don't think Steven Adams is the answer. I don't know if Jackson is there as well, Jackson Hayes. But they probably also need some shooting, some defense to complement Zion, who's their centerpiece, obviously. So who are you selecting at pick 10 for the Pelicans, Cal?
So if I was taking the best prospect off the board, I probably wouldn't be making this pick. I'm doing this pick for fit. I think he's got upside. I've already got my core piece. I've got Zion Williamson.
Yes.
I've got a tradable, very tradable asset in Brandon Ingram as well. If I chose to do that, I've got 5 years on his contract anyway. So yeah. I've got a bit of flexibility. I know my future. The Lonzo Ball situation is a question mark. He could be walking. I believe he's restricted. But you never really know what's going to happen there. So he may not be on the roster, but I know for a fact that Eric Bledsoe will not be re-signing. He did not like his time there. He is leaving. Yeah. So there's definitely some. Exactly, you don't want him there. There's definitely going to be some point guard minutes. I personally actually do really like Kira Lewis Jr. He potentially could get some more minutes next season. But that being said, I think there is an opening there. And given you got point Zion as a real thing, I think at this pick, Davion Mitchell is a good pick at this spot. He's defensive orientated. He can be a good spot up 3-point shooter as well. Yep. I think he does fit that timeline a bit more. You have Zion. Zion has had a historic season shooting, getting about 26 points on 61% field goal. Historic. I think you don't wait around when you have talent like that. You just get the kind of, I think Davion Mitchell is more of a win now guy as opposed to some of the more prospects looking guys. So for that reason, as the GM, I think Davion Mitchell is probably the best pick here, and I'll take him.
Okay, interesting. I think there's a lot of talk to be happening around Davion Mitchell. I've seen a lot of mocks where he is taken. A lot of people seem to like him on the Warriors. I am probably on the side of the fence where I guess you could consider me a Davion Mitchell hater. I'm not sold on his potential. I think he, especially after seeing his physicals measured at the combine, I think I saw he was listed at 6 foot flat, which is a bit below the 6 foot two that he was listed in college. You know, not the biggest wingspan. Obviously his big thing is defense. And I'm also not sold on the shooting as well. I don't think he's necessarily the 40% three-point shooter that he was in his last year of college. It was a huge jump between his third and fourth year at college. Obviously an older prospect as well. There's a lot of things that are red flags for me for Davion Mitchell. Personally, I might have gone a different direction, but I understand that, you know, you've probably got a bit of pressure on from Zion Williamson there to do something and make some moves and maybe make an impact push maybe into the playoffs next year just to keep Zion happy. I've been hearing some things out of family members or whatever saying that they want him out of New Orleans. But so I guess from that aspect, you could maybe make the argument that you want a bit more of a player to make an impact right away. So I understand that. Is that in your thinking there?
Yeah, 100%. He's obviously, he had 3 years at college. He's a bit older. He's about 22 years, turning 23 pretty soon. So he definitely would contribute to winning, I think, more than the other guys on the board. And as I said, the fit, I think, makes a lot of sense. With Bledsoe out, Lonzo could be out. Davion Mitchell probably isn't a pure point guard from an offensive standpoint. And that's where I think Zion can obviously carry that load so they can share the point guard duties. I think it's a good fit.
Yeah, I think I like the fit in theory. I just think that my stocks in him as a player and his potential are probably a lot lower than most. Do you have him like in a set point on your big board? Like, do you have a ranking for him, or is it sort of, again, that blanket sort of thing at the moment, like I was saying before? Because I know you said it's not the best prospect on the board. How far down is he for you?
He... I did have him 10th on my board, but there was another player above him on my board that hasn't been selected yet that I would have preferred. I think has a better upside. So fingers crossed I can get him on my next pick.
We'll see. I know who I'm going to go with this next pick. So let's head over to the next pick in the draft, which is being taken by the Charlotte Hornets. Now, I think one of the biggest, most glaring needs for this team is at the center position. You know, they've got center pieces of LaMelo Ball. You know, you've got a lot of other pieces in Gordon Hayward, PJ Washington Jr., Terry Rozier. You've got Devontae Graham. So you've got a lot of pieces on the guards and wings. So there's a big hole at center there with Cody Zeller currently holding down the fort. I just don't think he's going to get it done, at least maybe for next year, just to tie it over. But at this position, I am taking Kai Jones, the center, the big man, Kai Jones from Texas. He's going to be my selection here. I think this is the perfect scenario for the Charlotte Hornets. I really rate Kai Jones. I think he's got a very, very high upside and a high ceiling. He is someone who has picked up basketball at a later stage in life. We seem to hear about these guys all the time now. But he is someone who has a lot of upside, probably still maybe a year away. So maybe he can spend a year behind a Cody Zeller or learn from him, learn from the Bismack Biyombos of the world, but has potential as a sort of floor spacer with a little bit of shooting upside, maybe be able to hit some of those corner threes downs, but very athletic, very versatile defender, able to get up and down the court, high energy player. And I think him running alongside LaMelo Ball and catching some of those lobs will be very exciting. So I think that would be a perfect piece for the Hornets. What are your thoughts on Kai Jones at the Hornets?
I like Kai Jones. I think he's a good, he's your prototypical center these days. Can defend guys in the perimeter. He can defend the rim as well. He probably needs to put on a little bit of weight to some of the bigger guys out there. Comparison would be a Jaren Jackson Jr.
That's
kind of where I see him being the floor spacer on offense, can defend the rim a bit, can play small ball center. And I like his upside. I can see him being probably a third option on a team, but also holding his own on the defensive end. So that's a pretty good pickup to have in the, is this the 11th pick?
Yeah, 11th pick. I had him higher on my board. On my board, he's the 8th pick. He's the top of this tier for me. I think he has the highest upside of anyone that we're selecting at the moment. But I guess with the fit, if I was the Pelicans, I might have selected him over Davion Mitchell if I was wanting a big man. But I guess falling to this spot here is a good position for him. So. Yeah, Kai Jones. I think it's a dream matchup and dream fit for him in Charlotte. The question is, was he the guy that you were talking about? Was he your next guy on the board?
He wasn't, and I'm licking my lips over here.
All right, well let's get over to the San Antonio Spurs before you lick your lips and tell us your pick. I think they should be starting a bit of a rebuild at the moment. I know Popovich is still there as of now for the next year, but they really are, they've got a lot of lack of talent on this team. They've got DeJounte Murray, Derek White is there, although he's older than I expected. Actually, when I was looking at his age, he's getting on into his 20s now. So I think DeJounte Murray is your centerpiece that you're building around. You've got Keldon Johnson there as well, who's looking solid. Pirtle, he's there. You got Devin Vassell, who didn't do too much in his rookie year, but didn't play too many minutes. So just overall talent, front court depth, and probably a franchise player. But I'm not sure if you're going to get this here, but let us know who's your guy for the Spurs.
I think that's where you're wrong. This could be a franchise player. I love this pick. I love that he's landed at the Spurs. I think it's perfect. I'm going to have to select my boy in Alperen Sengun, the Turkish MVP, 18 years of age. He killed it. I think there's not enough people talking about this man. I think he should go in the top 10. I think he was a better prospect than Davion Mitchell, but I wasn't too sure about the fit there with Zion because he would clog the paint a fair bit. So I couldn't pick him for New Orleans. I think San Antonio is a perfect fit for this guy. I'm really excited. I actually hope this does happen. Popovich loves a good big man. I really am reminded by Pau Gasol. By Sengun. Do you see a bit of Pau Gasol?
Now that you say it, I kind of do. Yeah, I haven't considered it until now, but when you say it, it does make sense in my head. So
he's like the next Pau Gasol. He put up pretty much 20 and 10 in the Turkish league.
Huge stats.
While putting up 1.3 steals and 1.7 blocks. This man dominated the league.
Had good passing ability at the age of 18. Yep.
And look, he had some great behind the back passes. He could dribble out the court. He's 6'9", but he's a big 6'9". Like, he can defend people in the post. He's strong. I'm not too sure if you could go small ball center. You probably could. His one weakness is, yes, moving laterally on the perimeter. On the perimeter, he could be a bit of a weakness.
Yeah.
But
I guess the knock on him is the fact that his play style is a throwback big. I think he's really talented, but I'm not sure how, like, the way he plays, if it succeeds in today's NBA. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Under Greg Popovich, I think it's a great pick. I think he definitely can, under good old Greg. Greg will make it work. I have a lot of faith in this pick. I'm really happy. I think Sengun has a lot of a big ceiling. He could be a franchise player on a team.
Okay.
And I don't think enough people are talking about him.
My comp to him is sort of like a Domantas Sabonis type is the sort of player that I'm comparing him to. He's kind of like that power forward center kind of type, you know, good passer, good rebounder. I'm not sure how well his shot blocking is going to translate to the NBA just with that, like, shorter size. I don't think he's the longest person in the world in terms of wingspan, but yeah, he's one of those tough guys. I don't know where to put him on my board. I keep moving him up and then putting him back down. So I feel like he's a tough one for me to get a gauge on, but I don't mind the fit here in San Antonio. So
I think it's a great fit. Yeah. I think San Antonio fans, if you get Sengun, you'd be laughing.
Yeah, I don't mind at all. Let's move on. We'll go through these last couple ones. Coming up at pick, where are we now? Pick 13, the Indiana Pacers, last pick for myself here. They need some wing depth. They need some shooting and probably some secondary playmaking to help out Malcolm Brogdon there. You've got your two big guys in Turner and Sabonis as sort of key building blocks, and then Malcolm Brogdon there as well, who was a borderline all-star last year. At this point in the draft, what am I looking for? I've got some players in mind here. If you're looking for someone who is going to contribute right away, I'm considering someone like a Garuba or something like that at this point, but then you've got the fit there with the two big guys, so maybe I'm looking at a bit smaller. I'm going to take what I think is the best player available and someone that it would fit alongside someone like a Brogdon. I'm going to take Jaden Springer at this pick. I don't see a lot of people talking about Jaden Springer in their mock drafts at this point in the draft. I would also consider someone like a Trey Mann, who I'm really high on, but I have moved him down my board a little bit. I like Springer's ability to defend at a really high level. He looks like an excellent on-ball defender, good size at 6'4", has a good ability to shoot the three, and I think he can improve there. Whilst he's not the best shot creator in terms of, like, dribble moves and creativity, he's strong, finishes at the rim, and on a team that has other, you know, shot creators and playmakers, I think him having that ability to sort of go at his own pace, not feel forced to take a lot of shots, he would fit very well on a team like this. So for that reason, I am going to be taking Jaden Springer. What are your thoughts on that, Cal?
I don't mind Jaden Springer. You probably could have gone with it later, but look, at this point in the draft, if you like him, you're just going to take him. It's probably the right range. It's on the higher end. But he's a little bit limited. I think, yes, he competes in the defensive end. He is about, 6'4", so he's probably more...
He's a combo guard. He's like a point... He's that sort of tweener type, but I think he's good enough and strong enough to defend twos and also defend ones.
He is young. He's only 18 years of age.
He's one of the youngest in this draft. He definitely is,
What do you think his ceiling would be if you could compare him?
See, I see him as like a... my comparison would be like a Marcus Smart type for him. I think he's got that kind of ability. If he can develop that three-point shot and continue to improve as a facilitator, I also think that playing on that... Where's he from? He's from Tennessee, alongside Keon Johnson. I think that a lot of the stuff that he was able to do wasn't showcased as well at Tennessee, you know, playing with other high prospects like Keon Johnson sort of, and I think he was coming off the bench at the start of the season as well. So only got into the starting lineup halfway through the season. From there, he averaged close to that four assists a game once he started. So I think there's a lot of untapped potential here from Jaden Springer, someone who I am actually really, really high on. I've got him fairly high up on my big board, probably higher than most. So
there was like a name you mentioned in Karuba, who on my big board I have him a bit higher. Yeah. I like Karuba. Yeah. I think on this team, they probably might be looking to make a move. You got Brogdon and Karras as your guards, Sabonis and Turner. And I guess TJ Warren's coming back, which is a pretty respectable starting five.
It's not bad, yeah.
The thing is, I just feel like if they don't make they have to make the playoffs. So if they don't make, say, a home seed, it could be a bit disappointing. And I'd say in a year's time, one of those guys would definitely be on the move. And I think it's got to be one of the big men in Sabonis or Turner, which is why maybe Gruber would be a bit more of an insurance policy.
You do still have, someone like a Goga Badadze and stuff there as well, as someone who is playing that backup position. They had another young player, I'm just trying to remember his name, who stepped in and was it Brissett? Brissett was someone who stepped in and played like a small ball center. He's a younger player again. So the reason I didn't go Gruber, he was on my sort of watch list there, but I think just the fit with a lot of size in Indiana sort of pushed me away, because I think he would be relegated to like a bench role in that roster. So someone who, in Jaden Springer, if they do end up going along, because they're in that awkward phase, because they're sort of in no man's land right now. They're making the playoffs. Are they tanking? Are they rebuilding? Like they've got the talent to be competing, but it's not quite enough to actually do anything with it. So with his age in Springer and his timeline, if they do tear it down in a couple of years, he'll still be a piece that they can have to sort of build around. So I think
in terms of the I will mention, I'll throw a name, that Jared Butler is also on the board. I kind of preferred him. He's a combo guard as well. And he once again competes really nicely on the defensive end. He ended up averaging 2 steals a game.
I think there's a bit of a question mark with his there's a medical condition or something going on with his heart or something like that. I think the reports so I think that there's a bit of a question mark that might knock him down the boards towards the back end of the first round. But again, I'm not a doctor. I don't have his medical report, so I'm not really sure there.
Yeah, but, assuming they're all let's say he is 100% healthy.
Yeah,
would you consider Jared Butler in the same role, or you're pretty sold in Springer?
I think Springer to me still has a bigger upside.
He's younger.
I would be going there. So let's go on to the last pick on the lottery. The last pick we'll do today. The Golden State Warriors are back on the clock at 14. Cal, who are you taking?
All right, it's a tough pick just because of the Golden State Warriors. I think are definitely win now, and I'm not too sure who's going to fit that mold. We'll just refresh ourselves. Who did they pick up? They picked up. It was your pick. Wasn't it?
Oh, it was Keon Johnson. Yeah, Keon Johnson. So they've got some defense. They've got some athleticism.
They got some athleticism off the bench. He could be a bit of a scorer. He's obviously pretty raw. In Keon Johnson. I like Garuba as a prospect. I like him. I think you put him behind Draymond Green. Draymond Green can teach him a few things. I think they're very similar players. So that is one angle I could potentially go down. I also don't mind James Booknight, who is a bit more of a scorer. So they want more of that six man off the bench. They could look that option. He could get some minutes off maybe Wiggins when Wiggins is not performing where he should be. But on the other hand, Wiggins has kind of stepped up a little bit on the defensive end. He's probably not a huge nightmare now. But I actually quite like matching Garuba with Draymond Green just for the future upside there. So I'm going to take Garuba.
I like it. I like it. I think that's where I would have gone too with this part of the draft. I think he's a fine pick there. Just someone who makes winning plays. He's played in a professional team over. Is it Real Madrid?
Real Madrid.
Is that it?
That's
yeah.
Right.
So played with other talented professionals there. You can see he's got incredible defensive instincts. Still raw, but at the age of 18, it ticks a couple of boxes. You've got a player for the future and someone who, walking into the league right now, he can play defense. He's not going to get played off the court because he can't defend. So I think that is something that they can definitely use right away. And I think it's around the spot that he probably should go as well. I don't think it's a reach at this point.
The one question mark I'd have with him is, like, they do have James Wiseman, who is meant to be the future center. Do you see them as a front court for the future? playing together.
Well, I think you get it. I mean, I've got question marks on Wiseman regardless, but I think if you have a three-man rotation of Draymond, Garuba, and Wiseman, you've got a lot of versatility there in terms of if you want to go small or if you want to be big. And I think that that's really important in the NBA, especially when it comes time to playoffs, because you've got those different matchups. If you come up against a team that's, you know, got another big center, you can put Wiseman in. If you need to go small ball, you can have Garuba and Draymond there. So I think depending on that, that gives you a bit of versatility there. So I like it. I think it's a good pairing. And you've obviously got a mentor there in Draymond Green, the best defender of all time, Cal.
He'd say so, yeah.
He literally did say so. So, all right. Well, we might call it there, guys. Thank you for watching the video and listening along to the podcast. If you are watching on YouTube, please hit the like button, hit subscribe. Let us know down in the comments all the picks you hated, all the picks that you would change. If you loved any of the picks, if you love Moses Moody like I do, if you would do things differently, we love to hear it. We love to talk basketball. So let us know. We try to get back to those comments as much as we can. Subscribe. And if you're listening on the podcast, give us a 5-star rating and we'll be back at you guys next time with picks 15 through 30. So until then, we'll catch you later.
Bye. Hopefully our boy Josh Giddey can get in the draft next time.
Giddey, look out for him. See you guys.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.